Good afternoon. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you on Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And you know what Mark says? Maria Bazaar, where are all your guests? Well, I've got them on a CD this week. I actually invited the Riverfront Reading Committee to read for me, create some poetry, talk about their political views in this poetry. You know, I just wanted them to bring us a different sort of viewpoint of politics from a poet's view. And so today I actually have Eve Ott, Pat Lawson, Carl Bettis, Rhiannon Ross, Randy Ratliff, and Rhiannon. I said Rhiannon Ross, didn't I? Yeah, Sylvia Koeffler. They're all speaking with you from a recorded meeting at Inklings Coffee and Bookstore in Blue Springs. And thank you so much, Eve Brackenberry, for allowing us to spend the afternoon at your shop. Let me tell you about the Riverfront Reading. It's a series of poetry and fiction readings that started in Kansas City, Missouri in 1986 by Philip Miller and Don Blevins. Now, in those days, the location actually was in the Riverfront area in the Kansas City Artists Coalition space, and now they are held at the Writer's Place in Midtown and other Kansas City locations. Regular Riverfront readings are usually on the second Friday of the month, starting at 8 p.m. And for more information about that, the Riverfront Reading calendar is at the website at riverfrontreading.com. So, that's a bit about the Riverfront Reading series. And so without further ado, I'm going to play this recorded interview of poetry reading. We had them do a series of round robin style, so they each took a turn, made their comments and all that, so I hope you will enjoy it.
Good afternoon. I'm Sylvia Koeffler, and I'm an educator, translator, and poet. I'm an adjunct professor at Rockhurst University, and my poetry generally deals with social commentary. And my first poem is Barriers. And this poem begins with an epigraph by Robert Frost. Barriers. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen ground swell under it, and spills the upper boulders in the sun, and makes gaps even two can pass abreast. Romans built Hadrian's Wall to keep out the barbarians of northern Britain. But eventually the barbarians, Picts and Scots, reached the wall, adding great to Britain. Nevertheless, Scots ponder separation and build their separate assembly policy wall. Legislators propose to build an invisible electronic fence along our border with Mexico, capture illegals with electronic eyes across the paired Casa of America. The Great Wall of China, seen from outer space, is small. Electronic messages float past firewalls invisibly through space. What is it that makes us want a wall? Building one around Gaza to keep peoples apart, hide behind an attempt for peace, because fences make for fenced-out neighbors. I pet my piece of the Berlin Wall.
Thank you, Sylvia. Very appropriate. My name is Eve Ott, and I've lived here since I retired about 10 years ago, and I'm greatly enjoying the Kansas City writing community, which is fantastic. My poem is called, I Didn't Think It Could Happen Again. I didn't think it could happen again. The self-appointed savior spews a contagion of fear again. He scapegoats the other, lights the match, fans the flames again. He labels those who disagree liars, liars, liars. Reporters, intellectuals, scientists, artists, liars, all liars. Again, only he can save you. Only he can save you. Believe in him. Only he knows how. Again. Hush. Everything's under control. Sleep. Awake. Too late. again.
Hi, I'm Pat Lawson. I'm also a retired person, former teacher at KCKCC Community College, and I love the literary community, too. It's great. Since Sylvia wrote about borders, I want to read a poem that has to do with individual borders that we create. These have to do with one's own domicile. 21 countries on my street. The country of invisible people. El país en el modo de México with tile and folk art. The country where people are brave in their sickness. The country of the cheerful volunteers. The country of sky blue houses encircled by countries whose citizens prefer earth tones. Eccentrica, where a man can grow wildflowers or weeds if he wishes. Birdlandia, whose citizens have the names of birds and the figures of birds adorn their window, their houses. The country whose people make statements with plastic flowers. The country of those with family values and cars that belch smoke. A country whose people preach kindness but practice coldness. El país del miserables, whose houses sink into the ground. A country run by cats who parade in the street. The country of sharp-dressed old white people who frequent taverns. The country of garrulous black folks. The country of old German widows. The country of young men who have gone off to war. The country of people in non-military uniforms who still look important. The country of retired blonde policemen. El país de panaderos. El país de enamorados. This is our little world.
Well, I like that one.
Yeah.
Hi. I'm Carl Bettis. I grew up in Kansas City, lived here most of my life, and I've been writing poetry since I was 9, which works out to more years than I want to say. And this poem is Bothwell Lodge Library. Bothwell Lodge is a state historic site in Sedalia, Missouri. Bothwell was a tycoon and civic booster. Bothwell Lodge Library. Every library needs an artillery shell lamp. Not because books are weapons, though sometimes they are. No, because let authors write books on books on books. The shells always come in. No scribe will scribble the savage out of us. Books are no refuge. Not for those who built these rooms, and certainly not for people in war-broken cities, far from this towered lodge and its green view. The lamp's undented base gleams. The corpse maker shines its light on Chaucer, Lamb, and Emerson. Bothwell always insisted his guest handle the volumes with clean hands.
Hi, Kansas City. This is Rhiannon Ross, and I'm a freelance writer. I also work with youth as an ELA tutor, substitute teacher, and teaching artist with Jumpstart Art KC. And in her own words, a poetry and urban schools program funded by the Missouri Arts Council. My first poem is More Ways. More Ways. There are more ways to terrorize than stack bricks on the border higher than Denali. More sinister ways to banish. Darth Vader lurks on the screen and with a flourish of a golden pen rewrites the narratives of children's lives. Lisette, whose name means beauty and sounds like love, composes words that weep her mama's tears, confesses worries desperate as packed suitcases waiting by the front door. Mama says if she goes, I go with her.
Hi, everybody. My name is Randy Ratliff. I'm a civil servant, a landlord, failed curmudgeon. You all know what a
oh, not so failed.
You all know what a found poem is, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Found poem is a text that serves some other purpose that is not a poem that you extract from that context, and it turns out to be a poem after all. And this is a found poem. This is word for word from my source. I call it snapshot parentheses television. This is a statement of Yavuz Bedar, founder of the Platform for Independent Journalism, broadcast July 15th, 2016 on BBC America World News. You really have to sift through. The TRT, the state broadcast service, was seized at one point in time, and there was this communique being read by somebody. and then it went black. Otherwise, the private TV channels were basically airing President Erdogan and very many government ministers. And lately, just before I was coming to this interview, I heard main opposition leader Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu coming out in favor of democracy and continuity. And it is really a blurred picture still. It's in flux, and it's very hard for us to get the full sort of bird-eye picture of what's been happening. But apparently, the situation in Ankara, in the capital, is far more tense than what appears to be in Istanbul.
Thank you, Randy. I'm Sylvia Kofler, and this next poem is an older poem from about 15 years ago, but it's a very personal poem, and it ends with a few lines by Emily Dickinson. Liberal, a spirit like a bird, red light for demagogues, nuisance to self-serving believers, a word of tolerance and generosity, a spirit straining to be free, remaining solitaire within, never aiming to imprison others, unwavering in its beliefs, a spirit of fire, flammable, regarded dangerous by those in power, never pulled or coaxed, unforgiving toward oppression, a minority by choice, rejected by most, never allowed to proliferate, because is the majority in this as all prevail? Assent, and you're sane. Demur, you're straightway dangerous and handled with a chain. An eloquent statement by a lady of a different day.
Hear, hear.
This is Eve Ott again, and this is in response to Sylvia's poem. But wouldn't it be fun to pull on your cap, put on your flag mock-up shirt, put a bow in your baby girl's hair, and head off to the rally to hear your man, so rich, so powerful, rave about how big your side won, the size of your crowd's huge, while the lying press catch their breath, trying to figure out how to deal with alternative facts who worry themselves to death, and me, and maybe you too, about what may come next. What next? But admit it. Wouldn't it be fun to shout, USA, USA, lock her up, build that wall, who's gonna pay? And then you three, the American family, mill with a pumped up crowd out to your car that may start, or maybe not, feeling everything's gonna be okay.
Well, since you read that, Pat Lawson again, since you read that, I feel impelled to read my poem. I think we're referring to the same person. Mine is called Advice to Donald Trump. Don't tweet, just breathe. Instead of tweeting, focus on your breath. Big inhale for five counts. Breathe in the good thoughts. I am so awesome. My Mar-a-Lago. Still the monkey mind. Hold for four counts. My mantra is Mar-a-Lago. Exhale for five counts. Breathe out the bad thoughts. It's a death spiral. Death spiral. It is a death spiral. Yes. No, don't tweet. Exhale. No, A-H-C-A. A-H-C-A. Nyet. All better? Yes? Soon, maybe you will be ready for a monastery in Tibet.
Well done. All right. Carl Bettis again. Not in politics only. When Mussolini sent his fascists to march on Rome, he stayed behind, near the Swiss border, just in case. That's what these strong men do, flex the muscles of others, risk everything they don't own, and collect the payoff, whether power, cash, or glory. The next time you find yourself with bold comrades surging forward in the great cause, ask around, who in this movement has a way out?
Rhiannon again. This one is titled Bleed. A safety pin punctures her purple silk blouse, code for you're safe with me. But the children plead, prick your finger, pretty please. Why should a diaper pin on your lapel persuade us now? Prick, prick your finger, pretty, pretty, please. March for the teen with hands up who got shot dead in the street. Hug the girls whose mama overdosed on opiates and alcohol. Drop coins in the kettle, his cup, the collection plate. Go to bed hungry, so tomorrow we will eat. Prick, prick, prick your fingers, pretty please, pretty please. Break your manicured nails when you dig out the border wall. Break bread with the lady swaddled in a burqa. Break away from the comforts of the status quo. Cash in your white privilege. Tell the powers that be what we cannot safely speak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is Randy Ratliff again with another found poem. I edited the source material a little bit. This is selected sentences found in the article Read President Trump's Interview with Time on Truth and Falsehoods, published at time.com, March 23rd, 2017. And, yeah, it is selected sentences from that interview, and the title I've chosen is the last sentence from that interview. Say hello to everybody, okay? Yeah, it's a cool story. I make the statement, everybody goes crazy. The next day, they have a massive riot and death and problems. Brussels, I said. Brussels is not Brussels. In fact, I'm forming a committee on it. And some people, the smart people, or the people that know me, didn't laugh at all. The country believes me. We had a packed house. They had to send away thousands of people, and then they found out. That is what I am talking about. 1 year ago today, exactly 1 year ago today, they came from someplace. These are horrible people. That is the most confidential stuff. I'm not saying, no, I'm not blaming. These are great people. You know, my statistics are even better, but they are not the real statistics.
Good job, Randy.
Oh, boy.
Sylvia Kofla again, and this is called Carne Valentine. Carne Valentine, Fat Tuesday or the end of Carnival. Mardi Gras and national primaries share the season of costume circus participants. Some sport blue suits and ties, others don just the costumes more fitting for the political spectacle of ruffled feathers and stale repertoire. The drama unfolds on media screens where some actors forget to invent new lines and repeat their lines in an endless loop. Like most individuals, sans fresh ideas. Still others, with scant support for their pathological ideas, amp up the volume, repeat lines to silence others, or point and shoot to make their point.
This is Yvonne again, and this is closely related to Pat Lawson's last poem, which indicates to me that many of us are struggling with the same issues right now. Suppose, instead of watching in shocked dismay the vicious attacks and fear-mongering of a certain politician and his followers, I could somehow witness his overweighted amygdala, that old lizard brain we all share, flashing not yellow for caution, but lightning white for panic. And suppose I could hear his and his followers' conspiracy theories as what they are, rationalizations for a constant state of alert, the need to be ever ready to defend or bolt. If I could see the inner workings, would I not make herbal tea, play soothing music, encourage meditation, whisper words of comfort, it's okay, it's okay. And suppose I did. Nah, that wouldn't work.
Pat again, and I'm going to change the subject away from you-know-who for a bit and read something that Sylvia once published in her magazine, Thorny Locust. It's called Good Advice. It's a good advice. Young girls should learn from the beekeeper and pay attention to bee facts. Don't listen to those who idealize the little busy bee who improves each shining hour. They'll learn the options aren't so good. Wear yourself out as a worker and drop dead in a month, or be the queen and be pampered, but only so you'll be a baby bee factory, endlessly putting out eggs. And if you do live your 2 or 3 years in bee terms, like being Methuselah, even if the other bees allow you to recline on your couch and surround you with honey and give their bodies to warm you in winter, it's only to keep you pregnant while the drones mate and hang out. Just as well be a praying mantis and chew off your mate's head.
Carl Bettis again. All that wrong. Lately, I wake up thinking, I might die today. We, white people, get to wait until middle age for that. And even so, I think early heart attack, highway crash, not somebody deciding I don't matter. I know I don't, except to a few, but my skin does, in the right wrong way to the right wrong people. I might die today, and if I do, and if it isn't fair, it isn't right, it won't be all that wrong.
This is Rhiannon again, and I wrote this poem this morning, so it's titled, This Heavy Thing. Oh, white guilt, I tire of wearing your cloak, the blood-soaked one passed down from the ancestors. I wasn't there, and had I been, believe I would make different choices. Or perhaps not. Historians say we are victims of our times and birth. Our ignorance enshrined in temples, legitimized by law. Still, can we just talk about something else? Adele's latest song? Global warming? What to eat for dinner? Just let me slip out of this heavy thing. My friend of Nigerian ancestry responds, well, I don't get to forget. I can't take off my skin.
Well, that's Randy again. This one I actually wrote myself. We're reading poems about politics, and my whole life it's always seemed to me that politics boils down to one thing. This is called Money Doesn't Make You Stupid, but it does give you permission. Money doesn't end your troubles, but it can pass trouble on. Money won't buy happiness, but it will rent happy friends. Money won't cure your ills, but it will anesthetize. Money can't buy me love, but it can inflame desire. Money can't make two wrongs right, but it can make them amuse. Money loves other money, makes the world go round it up. Money talks to other money, listening for more and more. Money loves its company and despises misery. Money isn't what you need, but it is what you can get. Money isn't near enough, but it is what you can take.
Thank you, Randy. This is Sylvia Kofler again, and this is a sonnet of mine I've written about 9 years ago, but it's in response to Pat's poem. I decided to read this one. Woman, admired for ephemeral beauty, put on a pedestal to populate, regarded as fragility incarnate, possessed by nurturing qualities, not expected to harbor animosity, a force for the young to emulate, not expected to rebel and deviate, loved for bodily virtuosity. All was mistrusted for cerebral flight, pushed into an elevated cage by force, aiming to control her might, prevented by guilt to turn the page. Repressed for the ultimate power, therefore habitually compelled to cower.
This is Eve Ott again, and this is a quickie. The walls mentioned in this poem are in certain places in Germany. Day 6, January 31st. Scratches on the walls. bubbles rising on the seas. How many men, women, and children were doomed today?
Pat again. This one I'm reading for my brother, who's going out to you in Florida, who taught me how to pronounce a street name in Hungary, which is Bácsi utca. So that's just a street. And this is about the idea that the countries are not so different in some ways. Walks. One summer, I walked in Budapest up and down Gellert Hill and Castle Hill, along the Danube embankment, across the river via the Liberty Bridge, staring up at statues, monuments, looking across at Pest from the Buda side, and the massive buildings left by the Habsburgs, or down the rushing river with its pleasure ships, then past the tourist shops of Bácsi utca, selling embroidered blouses, paprika with wooden spoons, patterned rugs, from Calvin Square to Heroes Square. Many summers I've walked in Eufaula, Oklahoma, past pecan trees full of webworm balloons, black cows beneath trees, beside ponds, across Business 69, a.k.a. Main Street. Before me, Lake Eufaula, the gentle giant, where I'd see herons dip their beaks into muddy water, or walked past Brahms and craft shops selling wrought iron, candles, kachina dolls, wind catchers, and everywhere in this small town, American flags or yard signs asserting American pride of place.
Carl Bettis again. I want to read this one in response to the last one that Randy read. And this is a poem that was published in Forney Locust. Feudal Superstition. Serfs, devout in the faith that if they toil gratefully enough on their master's land, if without grumbling they let their flesh be handled, manhandled, and used to wipe muddy hunting boots, if they send every evening enough of their own meager dinners to the manor's kitchen, they shall themselves become lords. Lords who believe sleepwalkers never waken, and who fear no sharp farm implements.
That's great.
This is Sylvia Kofla again. Pat, you read about Budapest. Here is a poem about Kansas City. Streetcars. There once was one called Desire. Kansas City enjoyed them 50 years ago until Detroit car makers made them disappear. Some tracks are still left over in Old Westport. Now we've got a new line, all 2.2 miles of it. Its streetcars are sleeker and quieter than 50 years ago. However, some car accustomed drivers haven't learned to park within the white lines, and the Benz took a beating. A lady stopped on its tracks, motions the conductor to drive around her car. After 50 years, it takes some getting used to.
Terrific. Hey, guys, this is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and I love listening to you doing the round robin. I thought I'd give you kind of a break, kind of mix it up a little bit, because I know that it's pretty taxing, right, without some sort of a break. So I wanted to ask you about this political poetry. What were some thoughts when I first invited you all to participate? You know, it's just a creative expression of your feelings, your thoughts, your views. Anyone want to respond?
Well, I generally respond quite frequently to some events, but I try to I try to connect them to not just local events, to sort of world events. I think it is probably because I was born and raised in Austria, so my different background, so I try to connect maybe different countries and different images. But it seems like that certain themes always reoccur, like building walls.
This is Randy. That was Sylvia. I dislike political poetry as a rule because it is so topical. It's about the present moment, and so the next year, the next month, the next week, it means a lot less. All of its references become dated, and I like things that survive. But at the same time, artists of every kind have a responsibility to respond to the world and express fresh points of view, especially in difficult times when it's difficult to come up with a point of view or an idea of what to do or where you stand. So I the stuff I write, I hope to provoke people, not necessarily to persuade them, but at least to crack their routine and give them an opportunity to think something fresh.
Yeah, and how about you?
Yeah, this is Carl. Well, one of the things I struggle with in political poetry is just the idea that a lot of it is preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Mm. But on the other hand, I think that preaching to the choir isn't entirely a bad thing. As someone who, though I'm not really religious currently, comes from a religious background, you know, sometimes the choir needs to be edified. It's not all about persuasion. Sometimes you just need to know that you're not the only one who feels this way.
Yeah, encouraging.
Yeah.
Well, I work with youth, and I listen to their stories, and I bear witness to their pain, and I'm committed to empowering them through the arts, especially writing poetry, to process their emotions, to tell their stories, and to realize that they are not alone and that they do have a voice.
Now, and in fact, when people start doing this kind of thing, as Randy, you respond to the immediate moment, your very personal circumstances. We make fun of how kids will always write little, you know, intense romantic poems because they're first discovering their emotional lives and like that. But that's a way to begin. And once you start there, you can work out to where you're addressing more universal concerns, larger than your own interests. And I think that can sort of converge sometimes in a political work.
And how about you, Pat?
Well, when you gave us this assignment, I thought at first I'd have to just read my anti-Trump poems. But then I got to thinking that, you know, in a way, as they say, everything's political. And at least a lot of things are political. Mm-hmm. So I looked again and you find, you know, in any kind of relationship where there's a power and powerless structure, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. you find something political. So there's a lot of life that is, in a sense, political.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've always been a political junkie, but now I'm literally obsessed, and I wish I weren't. I can't stop watching the news. Yeah. I can't stop hearing what's coming next.
What did he say today?
Yes. I'm always going to bed tiptoeing across broken news, you know, it's just awful. And so naturally I'm going to write about that. But I also have a personal struggle because I don't want to be angry all the time. I don't want to hate anyone. I try very hard to expand my own horizons, my own skin, so I can understand what's going on from an opposite point of view. And that's not always easy. Mm-hmm. So that's been my challenge. It isn't. It's been a challenge.
It's good to hear your words. It's good to provoke. It's great to, you know, really create some sort of response, reaction to the words. Not necessarily trying to change someone's point of view, but just expressing yourself creatively through the words, I think, is really important. Because a lot of you here at this table have, you know, committed to different publications for, you know, on your viewpoints and opinions and that sort of thing, mostly political or through education or that sort of thing. So, you know, I'm glad you took this this assignment.
So, we appreciate you having us.
Yes. Yes.
So, did you want to say something,
Randy? I usually do. But
Randy. Can I talk? Okay, this is Rihanna. Randy mentioned how young people often write about, you know, romances, that kind of thing. Well, yeah, the kids I work with write about heavier topics than that. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to share one. This is an award-winning poem. A 16-year-old who wrote it for the Inner Own Words program. Okay? And it's called In the Windowsill.
What's her name?
I'm getting ready to his name.
Sorry.
Okay. It's called In the Windowsill, and it's written by Roman Leaphart. Isn't that a great name? Mm-hmm. In the Windowsill. An empty home filled with dead noise. I sit in the windowsill. I try to pray, but I can only cry. Regret and despair fill my eyes. I've told no one, and they don't realize. Mom's in the drink. Dad's in the cell doing 9 to 5. I sit in the windowsill. I try to pray, but I can only cry. I'm the shining star, but A's and B's can't hide mental scars, and the honor roll can't bring honor home. I sit in the windowsill, I try to pray, but I can only cry. It's called sinner's redemption, or in jail, early release. But I, the child, the one you gave a broken smile, read the letter you sent in the windowsill, and I try to pray, but I can only cry.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Color me corrected.
Yeah. Well, we have some more time. Do you want to read some, go around and read a few more pieces?
Sure.
You know, it's always you know, just a treat to hear you all come together and read your work.
Okay. Sure. This is Eve Ott, and this is in connection with what I was saying about trying to understand opposing viewpoints. Not a tower, but a prison, with bars constructed of illusion, always in need of repair, ever requiring reinforcement, constantly demanding defense from the world without the walls, where others go about falling, failing, laughing, learning, loving, while the fearful one cringes in increasingly cramped quarters. Sad.
Oh yeah, the sad. This is an older poem written maybe 10 years ago about the stealth bomber at the NASCAR race. The B-2 stealth bomber is making itself familiar. It flew over the NASCAR track this October. It appears in the hologram on my dentist's wall. It's making guest appearances at football games. Already, people have stopped dropping their jaws. Oh, here it comes again, they say. I saw it a week ago. Why, it's hardly stealthy at all, barely even sneaky, almost friendly like a big bat-winged kite, a large bird of prey, but one we feel affection for, like the turkey buzzard or American eagle.
Well, I just changed my mind about which one I was going to read next. This is Carl Bettis again, by the way. Shadowed. Those the rulers tell us to fear, I hide from, the way chicks scatter from a hawk-shaped shade. Those they say to hate, I kick and spit on, as others do. All with scuffed shoes and bruised knuckles, it's comforting to be a part of something we're building together. But yesterday, I stumbled for a moment into light and got scared dumb by a shadow that had my shape.
This is Randy. I've got one more I'll read. It's not really a political poem, but I wrote it as kind of a larger metaphor for how things work, and it sort of touches on the kind of bait and switch that happens in politics. I call it civilization. As friends go, I'm not so much. I forget to stay in touch. I forget your children's names. I forget if baseball games or dance classes keep them busy. Is your wife's name Joyce or Lizzie? I do know you spit for luck, and I know you have a truck. Your weaknesses include good beer, and I know a brew pub near a bed I have to go and get. So let's go get our whistles wet. You can drive. I'll point the way. It'll give you time to say any pent-up friendly things you want, or me. We, thank God, don't have to say a thing. Odd silences hold friends together, whether we ever think of it. We'll do my chore, shoot the... spit wit beer on our lives disorders, or that peach lambic Leslie orders. I can't say I like it much. Oh, our beers? We will go Dutch.
You got one more there?
Yeah, I'm done being nice now. This is Eva. Putin's puffed up puppet pulled people to his side with lies, lies, lies. Putin's puffed up puppet put plutocrats in place. Who lied, lied, lied? Putin's puffed up puppet placed blame on the press who spied, spied, spied on Putin's puffed up puppet's peeps who denied, denied, denied. Then professed what was leaked to the press was true. What a mess. Putin, it's up to you. The net is closing on your marionette. Probably not much more for you to get by pulling those strings. Don't you think it's probably best to cut them and let him fall, let him drop? We'll do the rest.
Well, as we wind down, if you each want to go around and just maybe give some potential writers, future writers, some advice, what inspires you, whatever you want to say for as final words as we wind down. Let's go this way, Randy.
Oh, okay. If you're trying to write and somebody's giving you advice, be sure to try not following that advice. Go both ways, because they could be right and wrong, depending on what goes on. Other than that, read. Read as much as you can. Mm-hmm. Read stuff that annoys you. Read stuff that's too difficult for you. But read things that hold your interest and challenge you. And have fun with it.
Yeah, I always tell young people to write from the heart, that if you tell the truth, speak your truth, mm-hmm. and use sensory details, you will write a good poem.
Mm-hmm. Good, good.
Carl Bettis, what I often tell people is that you hear a lot of rules about writing and what does and doesn't work, and as my mentor Phil Miller used to say, anything can work. It depends on the context. So always take the writing rules with a large grain of salt.
Good, good. And Pat?
Many good things have been said. I would echo the read, and I would also say write, practice. Don't give up, and get help. Seek help, but don't, as I said, don't take it. Take it sometimes critically. Be critical of what you hear. You might be right. They might be wrong.
Yeah.
I'd certainly echo read, read, read. also, in Kansas City, we have wonderful opportunities to go to readings.
That's true. Yeah.
And you know what? You learn as much from a reading you don't like as from one that you do. That's very educational. And when you have a chance to read, by all means do it, because you get that immediate reaction from people. You'll know immediately whether you're communicating or not. So, read. Go to readings, write, and read.
Yeah. Those are some really good words from writers sitting at this table. So I thank you, Eve, Pat.
Yep. Lawson.
Lawson.
Lawson, Carl Bettis, Rhiannon Ross, and Randy Ratliff. Thank you guys all so much. Oh, and I should mention that Sylvia Kofler,
yes.
Because she had to take off and go to another engagement. So thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you, Maria.
We'll hear from you soon.
It's fine.
And that was the Riverfront Reading Committee. They followed... That concluded the National Poetry Month in April, so I was happy to record them with their work. And again, riverfrontreadings.com is the website. They're also on Facebook and thewritersplace.org for more information about upcoming events and all that. We're going to take a real quick break right now, and we're going to hear some underwriting, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, and you're tuned into 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is ArtSpeak Radio every Wednesday, noon to 1 on Central Standard Time. And you can listen to us online at kkfi.org. So we're so happy that you make us a priority every Wednesday, either online or, through your car radio or home stereo, whatever. I'm glad you tuned in. Up next, I've got... Patty Allen, who is the owner of Attitude, a new diner here in Kansas City, Missouri. She's going to talk about Wanderfest, which is happening this weekend. There's a lot of things happening this weekend, but Wanderfest is an exploration of the 31st and Cherry neighborhood. So welcome, my friend, Patty Allen.
Hi.
Hi, Patty. Now, your diner is at 600 East 31st Street here in Kansas City, Missouri, and you're going to be a part of this Wanderfest. Is this the first ever?
Well, I think that there was a small one last year, but this is going to be much bigger. There's 20 different businesses, maybe a little bit more than that are opening their doors to welcome the community as an open house, to wander the neighborhood, to see what we're all about.
How much fun. You know, yeah, you're right. Over 20 participating businesses and organizations, music, arts, crafts, food, drinks. It's just going to be a friendly family sort of event, right?
Yes, there's actually going to be jump houses and a princess painting faces and music and food and different activities. You can go into the different buildings and see what people are doing. There's a lot of renovation going on in the neighborhood. So you get to wander the neighborhood and go into the businesses and see what everybody's all about.
You know, and that's really cool because I think it's one of the upcoming neighborhoods. I mean, I know we've gone through the West Bottoms and the Crossroads and all that, but 31st and Cherry is just really blossoming with arts and businesses. And I can mention some of the businesses are like 816 Bike Collective, of course, Attitude Restaurant, 58 Fitness, Bridgeport Church, Consensus Casey, and even Shane Evans, who has Dream Studio. There's so much going on in that area. Ollie's Local, just so many different businesses. So that's April 30th from noon to 6 p.m. So what will you be serving up that day? Anything kind of special?
Well, we always have breakfast on Sunday all day.
Uh-huh.
So we're usually only open till 2, but because this goes till 6, we're going to do a special panini, you know, build your own panini. And we're going to take a couple dollars off so that people could kind of experience
we've
got going on. And there's going to be a little map that everybody gets, and then they go into local businesses and they get it stamped, and then you get a special promotion. The yoga people are doing a little mini yoga class. The glass blowers are doing a demonstration on how to blow glass. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And I should mention also the Cherry Pit Collective with their Maker Village, which is right on the same street that you are. Also next door to them is Adonis Print, Two Tone Press. There's just, like I said, over 20 participating businesses and organizations. April 30th, that's Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And again, I'm talking to owner Patty Allen of Attitude Restaurant at 600 East 31st Street, Kansas City, Missouri. AttitudeNKC.com is their website. So, terrific. It sounds like a great time for everyone, and I think it's supposed to be really nice this weekend. So,
I hope so. The community is looking forward to it. I've talked to a lot of people, and they want to come out.
Yeah. You know, again, that's such an upcoming and blossoming area. I mean, it's very historic, too, with the old Cowtown Ballroom and all that and Holy Cow Market, but you know, one thing that caught my eye is right across the street from you is Ed's Florist, and they were around for years and years.
Yes.
At several different locations. So, yeah.
Yes,
thanks.
And they're renovating that building. They're going to be giving tours of it.
Oh.
And it has a lot of history and the beautiful old tin ceilings, and it's lovely.
Do you know what is coming up in that building, in that space?
Well, I know that. Yes, I know the upstairs they're going to be renting out apartments, and they're renovating those now. And then downstairs, they're looking for people that would like to bring in a business to help the community grow.
That's terrific. Well, you can explore that. The 31st and Cherry Neighborhood, Sunday, April 30th, noon to 6 p.m. Thank you so much, Patty Allen, and keep serving
Thank
up the
you.
Good food.
Okay, we'll do that.
You bet. You know, and I do want to mention to our listeners that we have a lot going on this weekend. I can tell you that the Charlotte Street Studio Residency is happening this weekend. It showcases the work of artists in Charlotte Street's Studio Residency program. Their website is charlottestreet.org for more information. It will give you a listing of all the different locations, the addresses. It goes on Friday and Saturday. Charlottestreet.org. Also, if you're a huge fan of Planet Comic Con, it's happening this weekend, Planet Comic Con Kansas City at the Convention Center, also known as Bartle Hall. That's 301 West 13th Street here in Kansas City, Missouri. PlanetComicCon.com is the website. You know, it's happening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Planet Comic Con is Kansas City's premier convention, is held at the Premier Convention Center here in Kansas City, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, planetcomiccon.com. Also, our good friends at the Rabbit Hole in association with the Kansas City Public Library and the Crossroads Academy, they're going to launch launch the annual Children's Literature Festival in downtown Kansas City. Now, this is the first annual LitFest KC event that's scheduled April 28th and 29th. LitFest KC is happening Friday, April 20th, 28th, Saturday, April 29th. For more information, litfestkc.org. This year's presenters include National Ambassadors for Young People's Literature, John Sheska, I believe is his name, 2016 Caldecott winner Sophie Blackall, and so many more authors, illustrators that are coming to that. Now, it's patterned after the Reading Reptiles Storied Literature Festival of years past. Now, LitFest KC will feature a Kids Day, which is Friday, April 28th, for school groups and families, and an all-day conference on Saturday, April 29th, for educators, artists, and writers. Both days will be staged at the Central Library, located at 14 West 10th Street, litfest.org. Wow, litfestkc.org. We've got so much going on. You know, we're going to take a real quick break right now, and I'll be right back with you. Well, that was real quick. I just want to remind our listeners that coming up at 1 o'clock, we've got that beautiful, delightful, talented Jeff Harshbarger coming up Jazz Afternoon at 1 o'clock here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Also, I want to mention that KKFI Collaborations Live will be held at the Folly Theater. That's Friday, June 30th at the Folly. We have Quixotic, Calvin Arsenia, Kelly Hunt, Jeff Black, Enrique Chi, Art as Mentorship, the UMKC Conservatory students, so much more. KKFI.org is the website that you can gain more information about. And you know what? You really should, because it's going to be incredible. At the Folly Theater, the historic Folly Theater, doors open at 6:30 and the show's at 7. I want to give a huge thank you to Eve Ott, Carl Bettis, Rhiannon Ross, Randy Ratliff, Sylvia Kofler, and Pat Lawson, and of course, Eve Brackenberry, for allowing us to record at Inklings Coffee and Bookstore. Next week, May 3rd, we've got John Fierro and Jenny Mendez with Maddie Rhodes Art Center. They're going to talk about the capital campaign that's going on. Also, we've got Dave Dalton of Hammerspace, who's going to join us. I think they're going to be moving soon. Anyway, I want to thank you all so much for listening. Stay tuned for our friend Jeff. And, honey, I'm coming home.